This is the Cambridge English First for Schools Listening Test, Test 4. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. Question 1. You hear 2 friends talking about a pop band they saw on TV.
That programme last night about that new pop group was cool, wasn't it?
I know. I'd seen online that their average age was about 16, so I was really interested to see them.
What I hadn't realised was that the youngest one's only 12, and they've had sell-out concerts all over the country. You wouldn't believe that for a new band, would you?
I think people can be successful however old they are. The fact they've done so well when they've only been around for 6 months does make them unusual, though.
Their singing's quite impressive too, don't you think?
Well, the lead singer's great anyway.
That programme last night about that new pop group was cool, wasn't it?
I know. I'd seen online that their average age was about 16, so I was really interested to see them.
What I hadn't realised was that the youngest one's only 12, and they've had sell-out concerts all over the country. You wouldn't believe that for a new band, would you?
I think people can be successful however old they are. The fact they've done so well when they've only been around for 6 months does make them unusual, though.
Their singing's quite impressive too, don't you think?
Well, the lead singer's great anyway.
Question 2. You hear part of an interview with a scientist.
A handful of schools have been taking part in research to discover if there are any benefits for teenagers in starting classes later, at around 10 or even 10:30 in the morning. It wasn't easy to persuade the schools to get involved because people are understandably sceptical about changing timetables and the disruption that might be caused. Studies carried out in the last 6 months have suggested that teenagers feel more alert and focused later in the morning, but little practical action has been taken so far. It seems that changing the hours of the school day could have a radical effect on the well-being and the academic performance of teenagers, though. A handful of schools have been taking part in research to discover if there are any benefits for teenagers in starting classes later, at around 10 or even 10:30 in the morning. It wasn't easy to persuade the schools to get involved because people are understandably sceptical about changing timetables and the disruption that might be caused. Studies carried out in the last 6 months have suggested that teenagers feel more alert and focused later in the morning, but little practical action has been taken so far. It seems that changing the hours of the school day could have a radical effect on the well-being and the academic performance of teenagers, though.
Question 3. You hear a teacher talking to a student about doing homework.
Did you want to speak to me?
Yes, Sam. You said you've been finding it hard to get through all your homework and sometimes you end up finishing it late at night. And you said you were thinking of giving up other things you do after school, like basketball or guitar lessons. The thing is, taking a bit of time out from your schoolwork each day isn't such a bad idea. What I would say is, if you have several homework tasks, tackle the most challenging ones while you're still reasonably fresh. Then, once that's done, have a little rest before moving on to the other things you need to do.
Did you want to speak to me?
Yes, Sam. You said you've been finding it hard to get through all your homework and sometimes you end up finishing it late at night. And you said you were thinking of giving up other things you do after school, like basketball or guitar lessons. The thing is, taking a bit of time out from your schoolwork each day isn't such a bad idea. What I would say is, if you have several homework tasks, tackle the most challenging ones while you're still reasonably fresh. Then, once that's done, have a little rest before moving on to the other things you need to do.
Question 4. You hear a football fan talking about his team.
When your team's just lost 5 games in a row, you've got to ask questions. The easy thing to do is to blame the manager and say the decisions he's made and the way he set the team up to play are responsible for the mess they're in. I'm fed up with hearing that excuse. The players just look out of condition. I mean, they seem worn out by the end of the first half. Mental attitude in sport is important too, of course, and they do seem to have more motivation than last season, when they were just wandering around the pitch, looking as if they'd lost before they'd even started. When your team's just lost 5 games in a row, you've got to ask questions. The easy thing to do is to blame the manager and say the decisions he's made and the way he set the team up to play are responsible for the mess they're in. I'm fed up with hearing that excuse. The players just look out of condition. I mean, they seem worn out by the end of the first half. Mental attitude in sport is important too, of course, and they do seem to have more motivation than last season, when they were just wandering around the pitch, looking as if they'd lost before they'd even started.
Question 5. You hear a film critic talking about a film for teenagers.
The film Olaf the Mighty is a fantasy as spectacular as the popular novel of the same name from which it's been adapted. At one point, several of the actors turn into monsters right in front of your eyes. The film was worth seeing just for that. As for the characters, they certainly have the looks, though the same can't be said about the acting. The male lead, played by Rob Whedon, is obviously supposed to be the hero, but he comes across as weak. In fact, you want the bad guy to beat him because the relatively unknown actor playing him gives an impressive and more convincing performance. The film Olaf the Mighty is a fantasy as spectacular as the popular novel of the same name from which it's been adapted. At one point, several of the actors turn into monsters right in front of your eyes. The film was worth seeing just for that. As for the characters, they certainly have the looks, though the same can't be said about the acting. The male lead, played by Rob Whedon, is obviously supposed to be the hero, but he comes across as weak. In fact, you want the bad guy to beat him because the relatively unknown actor playing him gives an impressive and more convincing performance.
Question 6. You hear two teenagers discussing a visit to a zoo.
We went to Chester Zoo last week. There were several areas that have been turned into copies of islands in Southeast Asia. Zoos seem to have some unusual ways of getting us to visit.
They'll do anything to get more visitors in. It's about the money, really.
They aren't just about that, though. They've got an important part to play in protecting endangered species.
Preserving creatures in their natural habitat would be in the animals' best interests, though. Still, they do inform us about wildlife we wouldn't otherwise see.
So you admit there's some point to zoos, then, that they at least raise awareness of the natural world?
But do you really think they're necessary?
We went to Chester Zoo last week. There were several areas that have been turned into copies of islands in Southeast Asia. Zoos seem to have some unusual ways of getting us to visit.
They'll do anything to get more visitors in. It's about the money, really.
They aren't just about that, though. They've got an important part to play in protecting endangered species.
Preserving creatures in their natural habitat would be in the animals' best interests, though. Still, they do inform us about wildlife we wouldn't otherwise see.
So you admit there's some point to zoos, then, that they at least raise awareness of the natural world?
But do you really think they're necessary?
Question 7. You hear a young professional ballet dancer talking about performing.
Because I'm so young and attracting attention, there's the pressure that comes from everyone watching your every move, looking for what you've done wrong and pulling your performance to pieces. This holds back some dancers, they just freeze. But I find that other people's expectations spur me on to achieve more. By nature, I'm quite shy, and certainly when I'm practicing in the studio, I am rather self-conscious. On stage, though, I feel at home. I can understand when other girls confide in me about having problems with nerves, but I feel so sure of myself in front of the audience that it's not something I've personally experienced. Because I'm so young and attracting attention, there's the pressure that comes from everyone watching your every move, looking for what you've done wrong and pulling your performance to pieces. This holds back some dancers, they just freeze. But I find that other people's expectations spur me on to achieve more. By nature, I'm quite shy, and certainly when I'm practicing in the studio, I am rather self-conscious. On stage, though, I feel at home. I can understand when other girls confide in me about having problems with nerves, but I feel so sure of myself in front of the audience that it's not something I've personally experienced.
Question 8. You hear a teacher talking about the history of the refrigerator.
The technology to chill food first became available in the mid-19th century. It seems such a groundbreaking and life-changing idea that it's perhaps surprising that few people initially saw the benefit of it. This was because the first domestic fridges were incredibly expensive, and it was a good deal cheaper to cut natural ice from lakes and use that instead. However, as supermarkets became popular and people stopped going shopping for fresh food every day, the popularity of fridges increased. The invention of the fridge certainly changed people's eating habits forever. But the claim that it was as important a technological breakthrough as other inventions from the same period needs to be questioned. The technology to chill food first became available in the mid-19th century. It seems such a groundbreaking and life-changing idea that it's perhaps surprising that few people initially saw the benefit of it. This was because the first domestic fridges were incredibly expensive, and it was a good deal cheaper to cut natural ice from lakes and use that instead. However, as supermarkets became popular and people stopped going shopping for fresh food every day, the popularity of fridges increased. The invention of the fridge certainly changed people's eating habits forever. But the claim that it was as important a technological breakthrough as other inventions from the same period needs to be questioned.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.